Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves.
We're at the Authors Studio at Book Expo America 2011 in New York City, and we have the pleasure right now of sitting down and chatting with author Wilborn Hampton. He has written a book called Horton Foote, America's Storyteller. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Hi. It's good to be here.
Same. A longtime theater critic for the New York Times for a quarter of a century. People know your name very, very well, but they might not be familiar with your subject material here, Horton Foote. Who exactly is Horton Foote?
Well, Horton Foote, it's interesting. Not many people are familiar with Horton as a name. He's one of America's really greatest 20th century writers. And he's a very interesting character in so much that he has written a lot of movies that people would immediately recognize, but again, don't recognize his name like they would Tennessee Williams or Arthur Miller or some of the more famously known celebrity playwrights. But he had basically two careers, and starting in the 1950s, he was sort of the golden boy of the golden age of television. He wrote many dramas for, as they're in the 50s, original dramas, one-hour dramas that were on places like Philco Playhouse and so many programs that were on in the 50s. And into the 60s, and he had plays on a couple of plays on Broadway, and he was fairly well known as a playwright as well as a TV writer. And as a screenwriter, he was probably most known in the early 60s as the screenwriter for To Kill a Mockingbird, for which he won his first Academy Award. And then in the late 60s, he sort of went into eclipse. Theater was changing, movies were changing. It was the famous 1960s, which spilled over well into the 1970s. And Horton refused to sort of bend his talents to the fads of the times, and he really didn't have much to do for about 10 years. He still wrote, but a lot of his work was not being produced or put before the cameras. And then he had a completely second career, which began in the late 70s, sort of the first indication of the first big hit was Tender Mercies, another movie that most people would recognize, one of the great American movies, actually, for which he won his second Academy Award. And then started his plays began to be produced again. And he had by the time that he died 2 years ago, at the age of 93, he was generally regarded in theater as one of America's greatest playwrights.
As much as he's written, as successful as he was, as many awards as he won, why don't people know him?
Well, it's an interesting question, and it's sort of one of the reasons I undertook the book. I had gotten to know Horton myself in the 1980s, and we became very good friends. We're both native Texans. But there had never been a biography done of him, and he was it's hard to know. A lot of us have asked the same question. He was very well known inside the theater and inside the movie industry. But for one thing, he was he didn't make the celebrity columns. He never sought celebrity.
Was he reclusive?
He was not exactly reclusive. He liked people. He liked going out. But there was nothing sort of on the scandal side to put him on people's radar. He was married to one woman that he loved dearly all of his life. He was a family man. He lived in New York for a while. Then he moved to the suburbs. He had four children, a dog and a cat. Took the kids to soccer practice and Sunday school. He didn't drink. He didn't do drugs. He never had affairs. He's very much a family man, and he lived a quiet life. He was quite a gentleman. He was quite good friends with he and Tennessee Williams were very close, as a matter of fact, early in the 40s, and then their lives sort of went in different directions. And so I thought that because the name is not very well known and there had not been a biography of him, I wanted to write the story of his life, which is a quite remarkable life. And as I said before, he had these two quite separate and distinct careers.
The way you describe him, you might say, well, outside of his career, He was fairly bland. I mean, there wasn't anything all that exciting about the life outside of his writing. But there had to be something that really piqued your interest. You must have wanted to dig a little more to see what motivated the man.
Yes, it was. For one thing, even before I met him, had been a big admirer of his work. And he really touches in the plays and is... even through the adaptations, like his adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird, of Harper Lee's novel, he touches the very soul of American life. Many of his plays and movies are set in Texas, but it could be anywhere. It could be big cities, it could be small towns all across America, or even around the world. And to get at the heart of a man, he was a great listener. You're right, he was a little bit bland, but... He was once said of President Kennedy that he was not that interesting, but he was interested. And he was always interested in what made people go on when they faced crises in their lives, when they economic hardship, when they faced death, loss of life, loss of loved ones, how people managed to go on. And most of the plays and the movies are stories of people who endure and who come out the other side with their dignity intact. And so I really wanted to get into the man, what made him such a storyteller, because he was a consummate storyteller. He loved to tell the story.
Now, did he know you were writing this biography?
He did.
How did he react to it?
He was very supportive. Fortunately, I'd started it, I spent about a year on it, and I was able to have... about 8 to 10 conversation interviews with him. As I say, I had known him. He had become a friend. And before I started it, I called and asked if he would mind if I tried it and to do one. And he said, oh, I'd be very honored. I just, you know. And so we had interviews, and the family was very open and would talk to me, as were like Bob Duvall, some of the actors that have been really the chief... actors in his work, and so it was a labor of love, and I was very pleased with the end. He didn't live to see the end. The last time I saw him was just 2 or 3 weeks before he died, and I asked him if he wanted to read what I had so far, and he said, no, I'll wait till it comes out. At the age of 93, he was still very sharp and intact, and the end came very quickly for him, but he just died in his sleep. After 2 days after seeing, yet again in the theater and seeing a production of To Kill a Mockingbird, the stage production of To Kill a Mockingbird up in Hartford. And the last thing he did, which was one of the great gifts to the American theater, was he had written a 9-play cycle about an American family that was roughly based on his own father and mother's life, who came through World War I and the Depression and into World War II. And he managed to turn them into 3 evenings of the theater. Each play became one act in 3 three-act plays. It was called the Orphan's Home Cycle. And it was done first in Hartford, and then it ran for nearly a year here in New York at the Signature Theater a year ago. And he had just finished that just before he died, and it was sort of his last gift to the American theater.
In all your research, and after all you've said about his life away from writing, the fact that he was the loving suburban father and husband, no drugs, no alcohol, anything like that, in all your research, was there anything you found where you said, my goodness, this is a bit out of character?
Well, there were a couple of things. He could be a very demanding parent, as a matter of fact, and a little bit. There were a couple of times with the kids when he would sort of pick them up and move, and obviously when he was working on movies, he traveled to Hollywood a lot, and he always hated to be away from the kids, and... But sometimes he would, toward the end of his life, when he started doing some independent movies of some of his own plays in the 80s, when indie movies really started picking up and taking off, and he was able to get the money and be a producer as well as director and on the set. And his daughter, Hallie, of course, is an actress who appears in many of his work and movies. And his daughter Daisy was a writer, and she was there on the set. And his son Horton Jr. was there. So when he would get all the family together on a movie, he loved having them all together with him. But there is not much out of character. And that was probably as much a surprise as anything, is the biggest surprise, because when I started it, I thought, well, I'm going to find out some things that there probably will be out of character.
Well, you've seen a lot in your industry, so you know, no matter how good the story looks at face value, there's always something behind the scenes going on, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, the book, once again, is called Horton Foote, America's Storyteller. The author is Wilborn Hampton. Bill, thank you very much, and good luck with the book.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's great.